This morning, I was thinking, what shall I say? And I just want to talk briefly about the power of choice. The power of choice. Deuteronomy chapter 30 in the New King James Version. This was God speaking to the children of Israel when he gave them, when he made a covenant with them. And he said, "See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil, in that I command you today to love the Lord your God, and to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments, his statutes and his judgments, that you may live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess." And then it goes on in verse 19. It says, "I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live." See, this was when the covenant was given. Now, God was saying that you have a choice of blessing or cursing, life and death. And then he not only said that, he said, "I will recommend that you choose life so that you and your descendants will live." See, every day of our lives, we have to make choices, isn't it? You know, the fact here, some of us woke up in the morning, looked outside of the window with the intention of coming to church, or it's, you know, it's too cold, went straight back to bed. That's a choice. You know, every one of us, we make choices. You know, we, in terms of what clothes we're going to wear, you know, whether, which color of shoes will match our handbags. I'm sure some of us know who we are. Whether to have breakfast or, you know, not to bother or to skip a meal. We all have to make choices almost every day. Every day. Whether we know it or not. Sometimes it's automatic. But we all always make choices. So the passage that we've read, you know, God was setting choices, you know, in his covenant for the children of Israel. And, you know, he set a choice of life and death, of blessing and cursing. You know, it looks like a simple choice, isn't it? It's like a no-brainer, you know, and he also recommended what the answer should be. So this lets us know several things. Firstly, the choices that we make has consequences. You know, every one of us, when we make choices, we don't think of that, but really, the choices we make has consequences. So a good choice will lead to a good outcome. And also, similarly, a bad choice or a bad choice will lead to bad outcomes or bad consequences. Secondly, from this passage, it also makes us to understand that making good choices can lead to long life, because it mentioned there that both you and your descendants may live. So it's not only, you know, it gives us long life, you know, that you may live long in the land that God is giving you, for instance. It's mentioned in one of the passages that we didn't read, but it's in that Deuteronomy as well. And then the third thing is that the choices that we make can not only affect us as a person, it can affect our children. It can affect our descendants. And that's the part where it says that both you and your descendants may live. So the choices that we make, even though sometimes it appears to us as automatic, can not only impact our lives, but extends even to our generation. What do I mean by that? If you look at the story of Abraham and Lot, you know, we know the story very well. When they started to quarrel, and Abraham said to Lot, The land is before us. You choose. If you go east, I'll go west. If you go north, I'll go south. Maybe it didn't quite say it like that, but you know what I mean. And the Bible records that Lot lifted up his eyes and looked across the plains of Jordan and, you know, determined that it was well watered. And he chose for himself the plain of Jordan, which had Sodom and Gomorrah as, you know, one of the cities. So he chose for himself. That's a choice that he made. And as you know, that choice had repercussions for his family. You know, the Bible records that his wife was turned into a pillar of salt, you know, when they were leaving Sodom and Gomorrah. And I'm sure most of you know, if you don't know anything about the Bible, you know the story about Sodom and Gomorrah and how terrible that place was. And even, you know, they barely escaped. And it was thanks to, you know, the Abraham's petition. And if you look at Abraham, Abraham even did not make a choice. What Abraham did during that time was that it was God that made the choice for him. Because God came to him and said, now, Abraham, lift up your eyes and look as far as your eyes can see. So God was making that choice for him. You see, that makes you to understand that God wants us to choose wisely. God wants us to choose wisely. As human beings, we are always used to choosing based on our experience, based on our knowledge, based on social media, based on what our friends tell us to do. Based on, you know, we'll come to that when as we go along. But I believe that, you know, after this message, we will begin to look at choice in a different way, because choices can have an impact not only on ourselves but on our generations, you know. We also know the story about Adam and Eve, right? That the choice that they made affected all of mankind. It brought sin, it brought death, it brought sickness, it brought pain, and it brought, what else did it bring? Toiling, sweating, you know. Whenever you're stressed at work, you know that one of the persons to blame is Adam. But we thank God for the second Adam. We thank God for the second Adam, because the second Adam, you know, he was tempted, you know. He was tempted just like us, but every time he made the right choices. Every time. And when I was looking at it, in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14 to 15, puts it this way. It says, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Curds and honey he shall eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. You see, Jesus was so well versed that he always refused the evil. Remember when he was tempted in the wilderness, you know, he was refusing the evil and choosing the good by using the word of God. You see, the word of God, that's the instrument he used to choose the good. So this morning, I want us to do one thing. I want us, every one of us who has accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, to give ourselves a pat on the back. I wanted to pat everyone, but because of the large crowd in this place, I just want you to pat yourself on the back to say, well done. Well done. And the reason I also say that is that choice that we made has consequences, not only for this world, but for the world to come. You never know the impact of that consequence that you've made, you know. But I believe that God will continue to show us more and more as we walk closer to him. I don't know if any of you watch Dragon's Den or used to watch Dragon's Den on BBC, I think BBC Two. Yeah, I think what it involves is that you have some wealthy people who listen to business proposals from the public, yeah, and they will choose the best proposal. That's in a nutshell. That's what that program is about. One of the dragons, I'll call it, or the rich people, is a man called Duncan Ballantyne. I don't know whether you remember him. He's a wealthy man. He owns a lot of gyms and so on. He was asked a question one time whether he believed in God. And he narrated a story. I think he was doing charity work in Romania, somewhere in Europe. And, after the event, some people were singing and praising God, you know, in their foreign language. And he said, he listened to them. And he said, suddenly he heard a voice in English from nowhere. He said, that voice said, don't you think it's time that you join them? And he said, no, this is not for me. This is not it's not my thing. You know, he says it was a strange voice. It was as if God was asking him to come and join. You know, and he said, no, this is not for me. You know, but you see, I believe that God was actually speaking to him. You see, but he made a choice that, I'm not going to take part in that. You see, well, the man is still alive. He had one or two heart attacks, but I'm praying that God will let him hear his voice again so that he will accept. But people make choices. God is not going to force you. You know, I mean, God didn't speak to us like that before we converted to become Christians. That's why you have to pat yourself on the back, because you have made a good choice that the effect will carry on to eternity. Yeah. You know, so you should be really, really happy because you have made one of the greatest choice in life. You know, and it doesn't depend on how wealthy you are, how knowledgeable you are, how skilled you are. It's because of the special grace of God. And you know one thing, that's one side of the coin, that you made the choice. The other side is that God actually chose you. God chose you. You know, God chose us, and we heeded that. That's why it says you are a royal priesthood, a chosen nation, a chosen generation, a holy nation, belonging to God. So you are a chosen generation, and you know what? God knows how to choose good things. God does know how to choose good things, and that's why as believers, we have to walk in love, because God chose the other person, you know. And if you don't walk in love, you are telling God that you've made the wrong choice. We'll come to that, because of time, we have to be very quick. Pastor was preaching, has been preaching lately about grace and how, and some of the teaching involved the fact that as Christians, we have to be, to value one another, the grace on one another's life, the grace and talent on one another, that I need my brother needs me, that we should be interdependent, you see? Well, we have to value one another as well, you know, because if I want to ask a question here, is there anyone here that has ever... Is anyone here come to church for the first time at all? Oh, you come to church. Oh, well done. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. If I pick Minister Emilio, if you raise up your hand and ask you, sir, that has he ever offended you before at all?
Never in
that. No. Never. Yeah, you don't know him. Yeah, good. Thank you, sir. You see, he's never met, he's only seen Minister Emilio just briefly, few seconds. So he's never met him, you know, so he's never offended him. So the people we offend are the people that we have relationships with, isn't it? The more relationship we have with people, the more offended we can get. Sometimes they may say something that will upset us. Sometimes they may do something that we don't like. But you see, God wants us to walk in love, work in unity amongst the people who are likely to offend us. Yeah. You know, that's what God wants. You see, it's a choice whether we want to do work in love and work in forgiveness. It's a choice. But I would just want you to know that whatever choice you make, there's good or evil attached to it. You see, there's good or evil. So, as brothers and sisters in Christ, to enjoy the blessings that comes from the right choices, we need to, you know, to walk in the ways of God, you know, in the counsel of God. For example, you know, we talked about being offended, you know, or it's like forgiving, you know, each other all the time. Because to walk in love, to walk in unity, we have to have forgiveness. At home, we have to have forgiveness. The children will do something that upsets you. Even the wife will do something that upsets you. And even sometimes they will not do something that upsets you, but, you know, you still get... But we have to walk in forgiveness. God wants us to walk in forgiveness. We all read the Lord's Prayer this morning, didn't we?
Yes.
Remember that part that says, Lord, forgive us as our trespasses, as we forgive others. You see? And I think in Matthew 6, Jesus said that if you don't forgive other people, don't expect God to forgive you. That's a serious thing, isn't it? Because we all love it when God forgives us, don't we? You know, we are so excited. And, you know, think about it. If you don't forgive a person, I think you're falling into a trap. Say, for instance, two people are here, they don't forgive each other. If one of them is praising God with all their heart, the other person will be thinking, look at him. If that person comes out to make a testimony that God has been good to me this week, God has blessed me in this area, the other person will be thinking, why did God bless this hypocrite? You know, that's what unforgiveness does. The hatred. You see, if they're happy, you can't be happy. You know, if they are, if they're sad, you'll be happy. But so, what kind of person does that make you? So that's what leads to tension, envy, strife, and all other evil things, which I would not mention here. I mean, Nelson Mandela, I think, summed it up correctly when he said that unforgiveness or bitterness is like drinking poison and hoping your enemy falls down and dies. You see, that's what unforgiveness does. So it's a choice. God says that sometimes it's hard to forgive people, but it's for you. It's for our own benefit. It's for our own blessings. You know, if we want to receive forgiveness from God, if we want to receive the love of God, we have to forgive others. You know, and when we operate in these things, we'll begin to enjoy the freedom that comes from God. You know, the grace of God. Because this year is a year of our grace, but we have to be taking certain steps. You know, grace will not come automatically. We need to be proactively taking certain steps to enjoy the grace of God. And, you know, the devil is well aware of this. And, you know, he uses division, you know, unforgiveness, bitterness. He uses it to cause, bitterness in the church. You know, some people, they've stopped coming to church because they can't stand the sight of other believers, you know. And they, you know, so that's one of the classic ways that the devil operates, you know, or the tactic that he uses. You know, I mean, the devil was described in the scriptures as a roaring lion, isn't it? I don't know, I've watched a few wildlife films, and the tactic of the lion is that whenever they see like a group of, is it wildebeest? They look for the weak, the not so mobile animal, you know, or isolated animal, you know, to attack. They hardly go into the herd because they know they will be killed. So in terms of unity, maintaining unity, you know, having forgiveness within the body of Christ or in a home is a protection for us. It's a divine protection. We don't know it, but the fact that people choose to maintain unity and working for unity in our homes, in our church, wherever we find ourselves, It's a protection. Even in a country, mm-hmm. a country that is united, you know, there's something that's a spiritual force that is happening for them. And that's why in Psalm 133, verse 3, it says, when people are united, it says, there the Lord commanded the blessing. You see, it's not the Lord will command. It says the Lord has already commanded. There's a blessing attached to unity. So I believe that, you know, as Christians, you know, we need to be united. We need to make sure that every time we make a choice concerning unity, it's a positive choice so that it leads to good outcomes. In our homes, we need to make sure, ensure that we always make a choice that contributes to unity. When you're counseling couples, don't tell them to flee. You know, try to make sure that it will bring unity insofar as there's no violence or anything or life-threatening issues involved. So try to make sure that there's unity involved. And then I have here choice influencers. Back to Deuteronomy 30. See, God advised the children of Israel about, he says, I've given you today, I've set before you life and death, you know, good and evil. Therefore, choose life that you may live. You see, God was actually saying, he was trying to influence their choice. In other words, God also tries to influence, you know, because he wants them to have a good outcome. He was making suggestions to say, try to do this. After Friday service, I remembered we drove to McDonald's to have something to eat. You know, and as we were ordering the food, the staff kept saying to us, so that is a large meal, yes? And I said, no, you know, I want a medium. You know, a large meal, if you have a large meal, you know what that means. You know, it's more money for your wallet, and it's also more weight, more weight that you gain. So it was not until after we were going, leaving McDonald's, that my daughter said to me that this is how McDonald's make money, by suggesting you go large, isn't it? You go large. And it's funny, you know, and you know, thank God that McDonald's are in the food business and not in the clothing business. Because if you want to buy a cloth and someone asks you to go large, you know what that means. So you see, people are always making suggestions. The point I'm trying to say is that life will make suggestions to you in terms of what choice you should make. So life will make suggestions. Social media will make suggestions to you. Your friends, they will make suggestions to you. Situations will make suggestions to you, you know, about the choices that you need to make. You know, they want you to make a certain choice. They will try to guide you into that choice. Because in McDonald's, members will say, yeah, just go large, and that's it. So in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 15 to... Oh, verse 5 to 8, rather. Jeremiah 17, 5 to 8. It says, thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. For he shall be like a shrub in the desert and shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land which is not inhabited. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green, and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. So, see, that what that passage is saying is that the choices that we make are either based on flesh, you know, your trust in man is your intellect, your experience, or trusting in God, but in his word, you know, making a decision based on the values of God, the commandments of God. That's what it's trying to say. So the choices that we make has an influence on our life, you know. So for instance, those are the sort of influences. Like Lot, for instance, he trusted in man. He looked with his eyes. That's trusting in your experience that this place is well watered, like the Garden of Eden. And there's nothing wrong, you know, in choosing somewhere like the Garden of Eden, because it's a beautiful place, really, you know. And that's why sometimes even ladies, God says that we shouldn't be unequally yoked with unbelievers. But sometimes you will look at the man, oh, he's handsome. You know, that's not what, you see, that's eyes. You're looking at eyes, but you've neglected the word of God. So it's a choice. It's a choice. God wants us to make good outcomes all of the time, not just some of the time. But as human beings, we always operate in another level. Sometimes we use godly choice. Most of the time we use, or Monday to Friday, we use we use our intellect, isn't it? But you see, what God wants is the best outcome for us. He wants the best outcome for us. My brother has just read about Colossians. It says, the wisdom and understanding that the Holy Spirit gives. You see, when the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Counsel. You see, He gives us wisdom and understanding so that we can make the right choices. So sometimes it could be a message you've heard. Sometimes it could be a portion of the Bible that you've read. Or when you pray, something just comes to you. You see, because that's God trying to get you to make the right choices, you know, based on the Spirit. And there's a blessing attached to it. There's a blessing attached to it. And God is asking, I believe God is telling us again that this year, He wants to make great grace available to us. But it will not come automatically, you know. It will come deliberately. It will come, you know, based on the choices that we make, based on the, you know, how we make the choices, you know, especially the youth. I want to plead and urge with the youths, you know, don't let social media, what they do on social media, don't let it determine the choices that you make. What you look on Instagram and TikTok and Snapchat and Netflix, and you know what I'm talking about. I'm sure everybody's looking at me with a blank face. You know what I'm talking about. You know, especially the youth, they're looking at me with a blank face. Like, what is he talking about? Anyway, I don't know what they do there, but, you know, don't let Kim Kardashian give you counsel. Don't follow those things that they do. You know, let the counsel that you receive come from God. Let it be, you know. So my prayer this morning is that, just like Jesus Christ, that every one of us, not only the youth, that God will help us to make the right choices all of the time. That the choices that we make will be divinely inspired. I pray especially for the youth, because this day there's so much pressure on them. Most of them don't go out, but they stay on the internet. In fact, me and my wife were talking yesterday about people falling in love with, they call something catfishing. I don't know what whether you, that people falling in love with someone in another town that they've never met. And they're even planning to marry them. Yeah, that's right. They never met, and that person turns out to be the same sex or fake. Yeah, they post a beautiful picture of a woman in a, you know, but the person is actually either someone else, either big or ugly or short or tall, whatever, you know. And it just, you know, so I pray for our children. The youth, you know, they face a different kind of pressure that we don't face. We never had internet when we were growing up, so maybe that was that saved us from many troubles. So we want to pray for them as well, that God will help them to make the right choices. You know, but we really, all of us, we need prayers. We need prayers. Lord, please have mercy on us. Have mercy on us, Lord, concerning our choices. Our choices affect us. It affects our children. It affects our world. Lord, we humble ourselves this morning and ask that by your grace, we will choose rightly. Our choices will be divinely inspired. Just like Christ, we will not be found wanting, because we will make the right choices all of the time. We will refuse evil. We will say no to evil. Lord God, we thank you this morning. We pray in the name of Jesus that every time, we will make the right choices. Amen. For the glory of your name. Yes. And we ask for the help of the Holy Spirit in these things. For in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.